In the name of Jesus, amen. You don't see it anymore, but some of us who are older would have seen this. The newsboy standing out on the street corner with a stack of newspapers in front of him, crying out to sell those papers after some important event has happened. Extra, extra, read all about it. Japanese bomb Pearl Harbor. Extra, extra, read all about it. Allied forces invade Normandy. Extra, extra, read all about it. The war in Europe comes to an end. Extra, extra, read all about it. The war in the Pacific has come to an end. You don't see that anymore, but the newsboy would lift up his voice. He wanted the crowd to hear what he was saying. He wanted to draw their attention to this important piece of news that had happened. And he wanted to sell a newspaper or two as well. Well, Mark, in today's gospel reading, functions as that newsboy as he announces the beginning of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. John, I don't know why I do that. It's because John appears in this reading. So if I say John, I probably mean Mark. If I say John the Baptist, I mean John the Baptist. Hold up your arm and wave if I make that mistake again. It will create a breeze in here and cool us all off. Mark, with these words, is drawing our attention to good news. That's what the gospel means. Good news, glad tidings of great joy, which shall be for all the people. And this beginning of the gospel presupposes a midsection of the gospel, but not an end, because it is nearly 2,000 years later, and the gospel is still being proclaimed. The good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of God's love for sinners in His Son, Jesus Christ. So what Mark could be saying here over the course of his gospel is extra, extra, read all about it. The Son of God invades the world to deliver His people from their bondage to sin and death and decay. The Son of God takes upon Himself human flesh and blood to redeem us who have this infirm flesh and blood weakened by sin. Think of how wonderful it was for the people of France when they heard that the Allied forces had invaded Normandy. That was good news, promising deliverance. And so this is exactly the way we need to hear the gospel, as good news. Good news that sets us free. Good news that one day we shall live in complete freedom, and death and trouble and heartbreak and sorrow and sin will all become defunct, because Christ, our Lord, will usher in a new creation. That's what the preaching of the gospel is. It's the extra, extra. Hear all about it. Hear about Jesus. Hear about what Jesus has done for you. Hear about His coming into the world in infant flesh, that he could be born of a woman and grow up under God's law with the obligation to fulfill that law for you. Now, before there can be good news, there has to be bad news. And the bad news is proclaimed by the law of God. In today's gospel, we have scant mention of John and his ministry, his proclamation. If you look at Matthew and Luke, you can read more about the content of John's preaching, particularly his preaching of the law. But Mark tells us that John appeared, John was, baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. We cannot skim past that word repentance. To repent means that you have taken a sober, humbling, even humiliating look at yourself and seen yourself for what you really are. I'll give you a classic example of unrepentance. Judas Iscariot, who sold out his Lord for 30 pieces of silver. Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus to those who would capture him and deliver him over to the cross, who betrayed Jesus with a kiss. At the Lord's Supper, Jesus announced to the disciples that one of them would betray him. Jesus knew who it was. And the disciples, one by one, asked, "Is it I, Lord? Surely it's not I. Tell me if it is." Judas finally asked, "Is it I, Lord?" Judas knew he was the man. And Jesus told him, "Go. What you must do, go quickly." Jesus was calling Judas to repentance. Jesus was giving Judas one last opportunity to change his mind. And every time the law of God is preached, that is what God is doing for us. Every time the commandments and their demands upon us are preached, that is what God is doing for us, calling us to repentance. Because repentance is one half of the equation of the Christian life. Repentance and faith in Christ. Repentance, sorrow over your sins, recognizing your sins, not trying to conceal or cover up your sins, is fulfilled and completed by faith in Jesus. For it is only those who know their sins, who see them as the damnable, loathsome objects they are in God's eyes, who can truly have faith in Christ. So John proclaimed repentance. John proclaimed that one mightier than himself was coming, the strap of whose sandals John was not worthy to even stoop down and untie. A Gentile slave could do that, but a Jew would not stoop down and do such a thing, not even a Jewish slave. And yet John was saying, compared to this mightier than one, I'm not worthy to do that. This is the one whom John was proclaiming. You see, John was a sinner just like you and me. John had his frailties of the flesh. In prison, put there by Herod, awaiting execution by beheading, John had his doubts. He had doubts about his ministry. He had doubts if Jesus, whose way he had come to prepare, was really the Christ, really the coming one, really the one whom God was sending into the world as the Savior of the world. John needed a Savior, just like you and I do. And if John needed a Savior, how much more so you and I, who I think I can safely say have greater weaknesses of the flesh than John the Baptizer did. So John proclaimed a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. You are baptized into Christ. You have been made a new creation and a child of God through holy baptism. That is not the end of your Christian life. That is the beginning of the gospel for you. And leaving that font, if you were baptized as an infant, your parents were to instruct you in the way of repentance, the way of faith. You were to learn the Ten Commandments so you could know and recognize your sin and repent of those sins. Can you name the commandments? Do you know their explanation? Do you know how the commandments expose us as sinners, you and me as well? Well, if you don't know them, if you don't know that they don't merely speak to outward deeds done with the body, but to what goes on within our hearts and within our minds, the secret things we say and do that we would be aghast if anyone knew about, then we can't really repent. And we can't really receive the mightier one who's coming. God promised, and John proclaimed. So the law is to be preached, dear friends. The law that steps on your toes and steps on my toes. The law that slugs us in the stomach and doubles us over with its condemning might. The law that slaps us in the face and says, "Sinner, wake up." And following the proclamation of the law, the gospel itself is proclaimed. The sweet gospel of forgiveness. The sweet gospel of the assurance of God's love for you in Christ. That this one whose coming John proclaimed, the coming of this one John preached about as the Christ, the one who would baptize with the Holy Spirit, is what church is all about. The proclamation of this gospel. You see, we want that gospel to begin in the lives of those who have not yet heard it. Those who have not yet encountered Christ through the proclaimed word and through the sacraments. We want this gospel that has begun in our life to continue as we live lives of repentance and faith in Christ, daily turning from our sin to Christ, the only Savior, the only one who can rescue us. The one who is mightier than our sin, for he carried that sin away on the cross. The one who is mightier than the devil, who cast out demons with his word of authority, who descended into hell to let the devil know that he had been defeated, that hell, as far as a believer was concerned, had been put out of business. The one mightier than death, who conquered death by his resurrection on the third day. And the one who gives to us, his redeemed people, life eternal. This is what church is all about. the proclamation of Christ, the administration of his sacraments, the absolution of sinners who repent. And it doesn't have to take place merely on Sunday mornings. We have a Sunday evening service, Advent service tonight at 6 o'clock, preceded by a meal in the fellowship hall. We have a Wednesday night communion service for those who know their need of the gospel, for those who midweek recognize the frailty of their flesh and their need of repentance and renewed forgiveness to continue living out their lives of faith in Christ the remainder of the week. We have midweek and Sunday Bible studies as well. And you know what it's about? It's all about the extra. Hear all about it. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Extra. Hear all about it. Christ died for you to take away your sins. Extra. Hear all about it. You are a new creation through your baptism into Jesus Christ. Extra. Read all about it. This mightier one, who is now King of Kings and Lord of Lords, comes to you in lowly bread and wine to give you his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. The gospel began with the proclamation of John the Baptist that a mightier one than himself was coming. The gospel continued through the apostolic preaching and down through the centuries as faithful men and women spoke of Jesus Christ and him crucified to others. The gospel continues as the church gathers in worship, whether her numbers be 1,000 or 50 or even 2 or 3, where Christ is present in his word and in his sacraments, there the church is. There the gospel is. And the gospel continues this morning and on Wednesday night and tonight, whenever we gather around the word, but especially the gospel continues this morning and Wednesday evening for you, as the one who is the very content of the living gospel is present for you in the sacrament to give you his body and his blood for the forgiveness of your sins and for life eternal, to rescue you from sin, death, and the devil. And if that's not worth an extra, hear all about it, then I don't know what is, because there is absolutely nothing in the church that can take the place of that message. And if we don't believe that, then we may as well close up shop and leave it to those who do, those who live lives of repentance and faith in Christ, the mightier one who has set people free eternally. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior.